Hi, I'm Dr. Sophia, email marketing strategist and educator, and I am committed to making email marketing simple and profitable for you. Through my online email marketing school, Sophia Learning Hall, you can find the link in the show notes. Fun fact, I'm an obstetrician gynecologist resident in training. Yes, I'm an actual practicing medical doctor. Email marketing experiments was born out of the desire to share behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. Simply put, what we've tried, not just me, but me and every guest I bring on the show, what we've tried that has worked or didn't work. So instead of just thinking it and testing it, we're committed to also sharing the BTS with you on this podcast. Come join us behind the scenes. And one more thing, as you listen, if you're a freelancer, service provider, or business owner, go ahead and check the show notes for the gift I kept for you. You'll find it under the title Gift. Now let's go behind the scenes. Hi, listeners. Welcome back to Email Marketing Experiments. Hi, listeners. Welcome back to Email Marketing Experiments. And today I have another amazing guest, as always, for you. And in today's conversations, we're going to be looking at all the things that she has done to increase her open and her click rates. But before we dive right into that, let me tell you some fun facts. First of all, our guest has skin and downhill mountain biking, right? AKA, according to her, train herself down a mountain at the things that she would do when she's not at her decks. They sound like a lot of adrenaline activities and requiring a lot of safety precautions, you know, from my angle as a medical professional. I'm like, okay, right? She is a former teacher. Public speaking is her happy place. And I'm sure you're going to be hearing her today. And I am with no other person than Taylor Holman. She is a marketing consultant and small business champion and the founder of Engie, a project management platform designed to help you stop thinking about doing your marketing and actually get it done. After more than a decade working alongside small business owners, Taylor has recognized a common challenge. It wasn't just about knowing what to do. It was actually getting it done consistently. And I'm sure that a lot of you face that challenge as well. So she builds Engie to solve that problem. And by being one place you can plan and do your marketing, Engie helps small business owners turn ideas into finished tasks that make them money. And we want to welcome Taylor. It's a pleasure to have you. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me here today, Dr. Sapphire. I'm so excited. And I promise I wear all the safety equipment when I'm throwing myself down a mountain because I don't want to get hurt, even though I'm doing something that is full of adrenaline.
I mean, I'm curious though, the skiing, I know that there's snow involved, but with the mountain biking, is there also snow involved or is just like, I just want to know how many helmets is we putting on there?
The skiing, there is snow. The mountain biking is more of a summer sport. So there's no snow involved. It's riding your bike over dirt and rocks and trees that have fallen over. So it's still very exciting.
Yeah, definitely sounds like a lot of fun. And you're doing so many things. I mean, there's public speaking, you were a former teacher, and now you're building or you built an app, right? I find it like so interesting, the diversity that you have done. What's something that connects all of these things together?
You know, I actually think that the teaching part is what connects everything because, you know, as a teacher, I think that's pretty straightforward. I want to help people learn new skills. And same with public speaking. Typically, I'm not someone who is going to get onto a stage and, you know, make you feel like, you know, you can take over the world like Oprah. I'm going to teach you how to do things still from the stage. And then with the software that my husband and I have built, it's still rooted in wanting to help people learn how to do their own marketing in a more efficient way so that they can actually get it done. So I think that that is the through line is I want people to be able to do the things that they want to do really well. And if it's involved with marketing, then, you know, I could talk forever about marketing.
I mean, since we're already talking about it, I'd like to know about this software. Before we dive into the email marketing of this conversation, this software you've built, I was checking it out and it sounds so unique and interesting. Because, I mean, we have project management tools, but this one is like marketing related. I even see that there's like a marketing strategy generator. You have your marketing calendar, marketing campaigns. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, it's inspired by the work that I would do as a consultant when small business owners would hire me to create a marketing strategy for them. But then they, most of the time, they had a really hard time doing the things that I had advised them to do. And so a lot of that was because the marketing plan was living in a document, and then they needed to write things themselves at the time. And then they had to use a separate social media scheduler and it, you know, all of these different separate tools to get the work done. And every time you have to switch into another tab, it slows you down. And right. So we had the idea of, well, what if we bring most of what people who have to do their own marketing need into one tab? And so that's what inspired us to build NG the way we did. And it has many tools, like you said, and that is one of the things that makes it great. And that's also one of the things that makes it very unique, because it's hard to build one tool that does many things. That's why most tools just solve one problem, right? Like if we just built a social media scheduler, that would have been more simple than if we decided to build this thing that we did. But I'm very proud of it. And the business owners that use it, they love it because it helps them understand all of the marketing that they're doing, as well as knowing which of it is working for them. Because most people who own a business and also have to do marketing, they don't have a lot of time, because there are so many things they need to do. And so NG will help you figure out what's most worth your time and money when it comes to the marketing that you do.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm all for having tools that make you use less tools in one so that you don't have to keep moving from one place to the other and ensure that they're talking to each other and all of those. So now let's go into the email marketing proper. Before we go into what you're talking about today, I'd like to know, if you were to give email marketing a job description in your business, what would it be? What role would that be and why?
It would be that email marketing's job is to keep people informed about what we're working on and why they should care about it. That is how I use it. The second part of the job would also be to make sure that people are becoming more and more interested in buying my product.
Ah, nice. So we are doing comms, we are doing PR.
It wears a lot of hats.
That's nice. That's nice. I like that one. People usually talk about comms, but yeah, I love it. You've been doing this for a while for your business. So we have this tradition on the podcast where we do open race confession, which is where you tell us something, the biggest mistake in email marketing you've ever made, something that made you cringe or want to run away and hide under something.
Yes, it was actually just last fall. So, you know, not that long ago, we had released a new feature and it wasn't done yet. Like we hadn't put it out into the world, but it was, the coding was done. And I was working on an email to let everybody know that we were going to have this new thing. And I don't know why the save button and send button are always next to each other in email marketing platform, but I hit send to everyone on our email list before this new feature had actually gone live. And I was like, oh no, And there's no way to stop it once you hit send. Like, so I was not happy with myself. And thankfully, I didn't get 5,000 replies saying, I don't see this yet. So that was the good, thing about it. But yes, I was like, why did I do that?
I can imagine. And so as a follow-up, did you have to like send another email to say, sorry, this was supposed to go out?
Yes. Sorry, that went out too soon. It's not actually done yet, but it will be soon. So yeah, it's not like in the grand scheme of things, there are probably bigger mistakes that you could make, but that was the one that I was pretty disappointed in myself.
It happens. I mean, so we've gone past that and you've been able to sort it out. So I'm really glad that it didn't lead to any other problem and definitely not 5,000 replies.
That would have been terrible.
All right. So you've been testing a lot of things in email marketing, right? You've been trying a lot of things to see what works, what doesn't work. And particularly when it comes to increasing engagement, opens and click rates. So can you tell us a bit about some of the things that you've tried in the past?
Yeah, I have tried a lot of things because I mentioned that, you know, tracking your numbers to know what marketing is working best is a good thing to do. And Edgy does that. And I know that the people that start a trial from an email newsletter, that out of all of the marketing that we do, those people are the most likely to end up upgrading to being a paying customer. And so email marketing is really important for the business because of that. So that's the reason that I'm constantly experimenting, trying to increase our open rates and our click-through rates. And so one of the things that I tried very early this year, because November through January, I'm based in California, and November through January in the United States, a lot of small business owners, they put a lot more attention on their businesses during that time period. And so it's the time of the year where they are actively looking for new tools that they can purchase to use for their own business. So that time of the year, our open rates and click-through rates are strong. But then in February, they start to drop off. And so I wanted to do the first experiment that I did this year. The goal was to increase the click rate. And so have you ever heard of a haiku, like the type of poem that's, it's only three lines and it's like very, very short. And so I had this idea of, okay, well, what if I make my emails, the body of the email, a haiku poem about marketing. And so it's like three very short lines and then just the link that I want people to click. I was like, surely if I don't have a long written email with a lot of words, that people would click on that more. And even though I thought that that was going to be true, it was not true. My click rate dropped even more. So after 1 month of sending these haiku poem emails to people, I stopped because I could see that it wasn't working. And what that told me was that people need to hear more from me in order to feel comfortable, you know, like to get them curious enough to click. So that was the lesson learned there. But one of the other experiments I did to increase, the goal was to increase my open rate, was I have gotten a lot of people on our email list from different events that we've sponsored and gone to. And sometimes when people go to an event, they, you know, they sign up for things and they are not really motivated, if you know what I mean. And so we have a lot of people on our email list, but I was thinking if I create a segment that's just the people who regularly open my emails, and I don't send emails to the people who don't open my emails, that my open rate should go way up. And so that's what I did for another month. And this one I've talked to many people about because my open rate went down. And I am so confused by that because I was only sending emails to the people who regularly opened my emails. So then it made me go down this whole rabbit hole of like, we updated our DMARC and, you know, all those things in the back end of our email provider. And we were trying all these technical things. So it's like, maybe my emails are ending up in the spam folder for some reason. And that didn't change anything either. So I went back to just emailing everyone. And that brought my open rate back to what was normal, like where I started. It didn't go up because that was the goal, but at least I brought us out of the hole that I had apparently dug with this experiment. So that one still to this day confuses me a lot because
I am confused. I'm extremely confused. And I'm just wondering, right? Because I mean, you did the technical side of it, so there wasn't any problem. And what interests me is you were sending to these people who had been opening the emails and it dropped. And then you said sending to everybody and it went back to baseline. And I'm just wondering, like, I mean, the only thing that comes to my mind is it possible that we could have switched out the segments? But then I'm sure you would have checked and double checked that with that. So it's actually a pretty interesting thing.
Yeah. Someone had suggested, like you said, maybe the segments got switched and or that MailChimp had put the wrong people in the segment. So I went through and I looked like with my own eyes and they were real emails that I could see had opened emails in the past. This will be the mystery of my life. And at this point in time, not going to try that again because it was very bad. So, I mean, I do have segments and I do sometimes, like, we have a lot of wedding business owners on our email list. So sometimes I just send the wedding business owners an email. I get normal numbers, or sometimes I just email people who are website designers and I'll still get normal numbers. There was something very strange with the segment of people who open my emails. But then they didn't open my email. So yeah.
I mean, I find this so interesting. It's like, yeah. Oh, I want to go into the data and see what it says. Oh, I still want to try out some more things. Can we do like another segment? Can we do like another VIP and change the criteria, you know, and see? Because I actually have this segment on my list that I created. So I call it the VIP segment. Mm-hmm. And I was actually testing out with that segment to be able to use it as like my testing ground and also as an inner circle community to then ultimately to grow the whole list, not just in terms of numbers, right? So I call it the VIP circle. And the criteria is simple. It's not just about if, because I'm looking at it from the engagement point of view, right? So people who have opened greater than 40% of the emails that they have received from me. So if you've opened more than 40%, it's like you're a VIP and I want to reward that readership first. Mm-hmm. Because for me, what I'm looking at is building a community of people that can tell other people about you. So I want the trust to go from, oh, I like you, I know you, I trust you, I can try out your product, to advocacy. Okay. And so I'm like, who are the people that I will want to start with when it comes to advocacy, since that's the goal? The people who are very consistent to a very large degree. So I initially wanted to use 50% and I'm like, okay, I just send a lot of emails. Let me start with 40% and see, right? And that was like maybe 25% of my list size by the time I put that 40% benchmark. And I'm like, okay, not bad. So in my head, I'm like, okay, so how can I make the number of people who are in this criteria, let's say, up to 50% or maybe 40% of my list size? And it was interesting because, you know, they say this 80-20 principle, and it was like seeing it play out there. And I'm like, okay, can we make this higher? And then it's like, okay, before you go there, let's build the initial goal, which is the advocacy, right? And that segment is actually more engaged than all the other segments, which is why, I mean, every time I've tried this strategy, we usually have higher engagement with those people who open more, which is why I find your scenario extremely interesting, right? And it's something that, I mean, I'm like, we just test it again. Could we try it a bit differently, right? But yeah, I totally understand how that could also remain a mystery. So let's still look into some of the other things that you've tried.
Yeah, so I have tried sending fewer emails in a month because there are, during that November to January timeframe, in total, and again, this is to, like, not every person will get every email because I do use segments, but during that period of the year, I'm sending like an average of 18 or 20 emails per month, which is kind of a lot considering I'm in charge of email marketing on top of everything else. Like, I'm basically a marketing department of one person. So to send 18 emails in 1 month is a lot. And so I've tried the opposite where I just send one email a week, where for a few months in a row, trying to see if fewer emails translates into higher open rates because the fewer emails feel more important rather than like I'm always saying something. And that it didn't cause a huge drop, but it also didn't cause a big spike. So everything just sort of stayed the same with that. And the new thing that I'm trying is every month treating the first 3 weeks as a nurture period with our email list and picking one particular sort of problem and having all of the nurture emails talk about that before then for the last week sending pitch emails or sales emails. And I don't know yet if it's working. The summer is actually not a good time to try to make sales here in the United States with business owners because a lot of people have kids or they're just trying to go on holiday. And so the summer is a hard time to get people's attention. And so it's only the first month of the summer, but I'm going to continue with this experiment in July and August as well. But so I'll have to report back to you, Dr. Sapphire, if that worked. I think even if it's not going to quote unquote work during the summer, I think that in the long term, it will help me nurture people that are on our list for the fall when they get back into that buying mode. That I've had this nurture conversation with them a few times before I go into, you know, hard buy my stuff mode with all of the emails that I sent. So that's one of the other things that I'm experimenting with right now.
I think for me, one thing that really stands out is like the resilience to keep, you know, testing and trying out new things, even when you haven't gotten what it is that you're looking out for. And then you're not giving up and saying, oh, because a lot of people say, oh, email marketing is dead. Oh, this thing doesn't work, right? And here is you, you've tested one, you've tested two. Now you're testing this third thing and waiting on the results, right? What is it that keeps you motivated to keep testing and keep trying out new things?
I appreciate that you see that because every business owner is resilient in a different way. And because I am in charge of marketing, I think I have to be resilient with marketing because it's always changing. And so the experiments are, I'll take one step back. Marketing is always changing, but also people are always changing, right? Like our potential customers and clients are always changing. And so I feel like as the person who's in charge of marketing, that experimenting is in my job description, that because the the target is moving and it's not going to stay in the same place, that I need to try these little things over and over and over again to make sure that I'm getting in the end what I need to get. And so I think that seeing experimenting as a part of my job helps keep me motivated to it. But also, I'm a curious person. And so that helps me go, even if this didn't work, it's just this one version of email marketing that didn't work. So I'm curious to see if a different version of doing email marketing would work better. And if that is, you know, good, bad, or stays the same, okay, well, then I'm curious about another thing to see if it works. So I think that it's a combination of those two things, like knowing that the way I need to do marketing is always going to change over time, but then also being curious about it keeps me resilient and not feeling like I get beat down each time I don't get what I want.
I find that really interesting. So how do you pick what it is that you want to test? How do you decide that, okay, I'm testing this next, this is what I should test?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of something that's said a lot, but it's important. The first thing I start with is, what's my goal? Like, I look at the business goal for the right now, but also in the future. And so, like, right now, the goal is to, or not even right now, let's talk about May, because May, we did a big marketing campaign. And we offered a big discount for people who upgraded to a paid subscription. And so the goal that month was get as many people to start a free trial of NG as possible. And so if that's the goal, I was really looking at, okay, people have to open the emails, right? They probably have to click on them also. So I was experimenting with my subject lines a lot, and also not just having one button at the bottom of the email that had the link to start a trial. I put many links that people could click on. And so that's a real example of, okay, well, the goal is this. And then looking, sort of working backwards from there, what would I need to do in order to achieve the goal? And so that's typically how I look at marketing in general and email marketing. Like right now, because I know the summer is slow, my goal is not sales, right? The experiment that I'm running right now, the goal is keeping people interested enough to keep learning more. And so that's why I'm more focused on emails that nurture versus what I was doing last month in May, where I was hard selling in every single email. So, but also, like, when I look at my numbers every month, if I start to see a pattern with things, that's also something that I use to make a decision about, okay, what might I experiment with next? So, like, if I see a pattern with our open rate, or our click rate, or, you know, our unsubscribe rate, if I see a pattern with that, then that's also a sign that I need to change direction a little bit.
Yes, I totally love this part about seeing a pattern, because when we do our monthly, so we do this monthly email marketing reports, and then me and my team, we can do like an analytics call. And one of the things that we usually would look out for is patterns that I notice, patterns in that month, patterns compared to like the previous period, that kind of thing. And I feel like patterns like tell stories, right? It's like it's a story on its own, really. And so, yes, when I hear you say patterns, I'm like, oh, yes, right. So now turning those patterns into things that you want to, you know, go ahead and experiment and try out, I think that's super smart. And that's something that anybody who wants to, you know, improve their email marketing can start with, identifying patterns, of maybe things that are working and then what's not working, and then now taking that to build on it. I mean, this has been such an insightful and interesting conversation. I feel like I want to get into the back end of your system and do an audit. Then we do a brainstorm session. And by the end of it, we'll have like a whole list or maybe a folder of experiments that we want to try. And then maybe we might just pick at that mystery again and be like, give this a second look, because why? Yeah, definitely. Now, when it comes to email marketing, right? So we're looking at the things you've tried. We're looking at the experiments. You are a founder and you have this SaaS product, right? So software as a service. And you're doing email marketing for your product. I used to tell people that the foundation of email marketing is the same, but then things change by industry. So maybe you're still doing your same foundation, but the way you're implementing this thing might change a bit because of the industry. So in your experience as someone in marketing, are there things that have stood out for you when it comes to email marketing for softwares in particular, as opposed to other types and industries?
Yes. So before I worked on NG full-time, my main business was as a marketing consultant. And there is a huge difference between marketing my services as a consultant and selling and marketing software. And one of the things that really stands out to me is it is so much harder to get people to trust a product than it is to get people to trust a person. And so that's why the NG brand, our website, not so much, but like our Instagram account for sure, and Threads and all these other social media platforms, my face is all over it. Because I don't want people to be interacting with a nameless, faceless company, especially with small business owners. Like, small business owners have been like taken advantage of a lot by things that they end up buying. And so that's one of the big differences that I see between being a person who's selling services and being a founder who's selling a software product. But the other thing that I've noticed is the importance of showing people what the product looks like and can do is very different from talking about what a service includes. Like, when you're doing marketing, like if I were to sell, when I was selling or marketing website copywriting services, I just really needed to, in my emails, talk about how much it costs, how many pages of website copy would you get, how many revisions were included. Right? Like, it was kind of like a checkbox of things. And people didn't need to see that because, you know, they didn't. With NG, people need to see, okay, well, what does the marketing calendar look like? How would I use the AI copywriter? What is a marketing campaign and why would I use it? So there's like this difference in, again, it's like it still boils down to trust, right? And so I have to like show people in videos and screenshots and tutorials a lot more with marketing a piece of software than I ever did being a person who was just selling services.
And yes, I totally agree with you, because I've had to do email marketing for a fintech brand, and there's a lot of show and tell. You're not just telling, you're not just showing, but you're doing a lot of combinations. You're trying to do demos. You're trying to do case studies. And while you're speaking, I just thought about it. I feel like maybe another experiment would be to do a case study series. But instead of doing the case study as you telling their story, let it be like that person is sharing their experience. Ooh. So I used to do this thing when I'm launching my mentorship. I'll be like, meet Chisom. And then the email starts off like, Chisom is talking to you. So basically, it used to start with like a questionnaire that's back end or an interview. or majorly questionnaire, I've asked like these particular questions and then I write it as a story. So I have taken all her responses and then I'm giving you this story, but it's coming from Chisom, who is sharing who she is to create context, what she does, then going into the problem she faced that made her decide to, you know, try this thing, some of her hesitations. So now it feels real and connected because we're not trying to do all the creative things. We're just telling you, meet this person. And this person now looks more like them. And so it's like credibility from this person, this. And then sometimes you could even add like maybe the picture of that person somewhere in it, you know. And I'm like, oh, so why the person decided to sign up or what the person thinks, this favorite feature. And then at the end of the email, I'm like, oh, now let me take over from Chisom, or I allow Chisom to do the email and close it out. I feel like that might be an interesting one in the showing of the features and just helping to bring in that human touch as well. So now it's coming from other members of the community like them, as opposed to coming from you alone or from the team alone. As we are speaking, I feel like that's something that would be super interesting to try out as well.
I'm going to do that. Yeah, 100%. I'm going to do that because I have case study interviews that I've done with some of the people who use Engie a lot. And so I mean, I have video from them and I have like written interviews. So I can easily do what you are suggesting as an experiment. So thank you for the idea because I'm very excited about this.
You're welcome. And then I have a second one that I wanted to share. Right. So I just have a question before I share this one. How long does it take somebody to use the software before they take a decision if they want to move forward with it or not? How long does it take them to experience the software and, you know that, okay, yes, I want to go forward with this?
So that's a complicated answer because we don't know just yet. There are some people that the same day that they try it for the first time, they upgrade and pay. And then I would say on average, most people upgrade at the end of the 14-day trial. But then we have some people who try it and like walk away and then months later come back and upgrade. So it's inconsistent, which makes my job harder. So, but yeah, it can be immediate or it can be 3 months from now, but it's very quick to create an account and start using it. Like that happens in 30 minutes. You've had enough time to at least like try a bunch of things. But at what point does someone get convinced that they want to pay for it is the more complicated story.
Okay. So yeah, I'll tell you why I asked. So you talked about one time, one of your goals was to get as many people as possible to sign up for a free trial. So I was thinking about it in the form of like a challenge. Now, this is not the name that it's going to be, but it's like a call for testers. So you know how you have a call for speakers? So you have a call for testers and they say we're giving them 30 days trial. And these people are signing up, but they're also in like a community. And every day is like, there's one thing that they are supposed to do. So there's the group experiment. So it's more like everybody's trying the same thing at the same time. And then there's like maybe a Slack chat or a community chat session at a particular time. And then, you know, we have like multiple time zones. So that's why it's chat. So when people come in on their own time zones, it's like, oh, what was your experience with this feature? What can we improve on it these days? Now, everybody is experiencing it at the same time. And then people are also talking about it. And this person is getting to see what this other person is doing. Now, all that conversation can also become like email content, right? And then with the call for testers, we can say, oh, we're taking so-and-so number of people in this cohort to help us do this, invite your friends, share the link with somebody. So now everybody is sharing the link with somebody and coming on. And starting with the people who already are using the products, it's like, oh, we're calling for a couple of testers to do this. You get 1 month free. After that, you can upgrade for 3 months. So maybe instead of doing like an upgrade for 1 month, you can put the 1 month there, but give them a deal like, oh, if you do like 3 months or 1 year, this is like a special offer, right? And then we do that thing and then add it to the emails. And I feel like that can also help with your goal for getting more people to go through the free trial, because with the free trial, you know that a percentage of them will convert to the paid. And then even if they don't convert, you have these people that you know are interested on your list, and then they can convert in the future, which is one of the things that you've experienced. So, I mean, the idea is quite messy and all, but I'm sure you get the concept of what it is that I have in mind.
Yeah, no, I love that. Someone has in the past suggested creating some sort of cohort where people did things at the same time as one another to help them feel sort of more bought into it. So, you know, sometimes you need to hear things twice before you go, I really should do that.
Oh, sure. Definitely. This has been such an interesting conversation. Before we begin to wrap up, right, if you were to speak to another founder, right, who is doing email marketing for SaaS, I know that this conversation started out as things that you've tried, but I feel like we've just pivoted and I've been thinking like, oh, maybe I'll need to switch the conversation of this particular topic, right? But if you're to speak to somebody who is doing, who is trying to launch their SaaS product and do email marketing or wants to incorporate email marketing, what are some of the things that you would tell this person who is just starting out?
One of the things that I would love to be able to do over, because I started building my email list before we launched Engie, because I wanted to have people to say like, hey, we just launched too, and you need to do that before launch day. The thing that I wish I would have done was segment them in a more detailed way from day one. Because like we have segmentation based on, for Engie, the type of business people have, but what actually would have been more helpful for me would have been to segment people by the marketing problem that they were trying to solve. Mm-hmm. Because then I could have really created a strong sequence that made them feel seen, and then also could have talked more specifically about the exact features in the software that would be helpful for that person. So I think that a lot of founders just starting the email list before they launch, like I started trying to get people on my email list 6 months before. I think that that is something that I really recommend people do, because it gives you a chance to talk to people, but then also create a way for you to, like I said, know what their problem is. Because at the end of the day, whether you're selling a service or a product or a piece of software, every one of our customers is trying to solve a problem. And knowing that gives you an advantage to being able to really effectively do email marketing for them.
I love that idea of segmenting according to the problem. So when I segment according to the problem, it's in one of two ways. For one of them, I usually have like three categories, and then I say, which category do you fall in? So for each category I have, it lets me know what their key problem will be. The other way is, what can I help you with today? So that's an open-ended question, right? And it's usually like a number of answers. Sometimes I create caveats. Oh, assize this thing. What other thing can I help you do? So I'm just wondering, if you're segmenting according to the problem, will it be from the sign-up process or after they have signed up?
It's both. Can the answer be both? because sometimes people can give you different answers, right? Like humans change their mind. But also the way you talk to someone before they've started a trial or, you know, become an inquiry or a lead is different than after that moment. Because after that moment, they've shown a lot of interest in you. And so you can have a different conversation. But beforehand, you are still trying to convince them. And so I think that when someone creates an NG account, we do ask them, like, basically, why are you here? As what's your problem sort of question. And so we do that, and that's very helpful. But then I wish I would have done it before that moment also.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, more data is always welcome. Now, I was going to go into the myths, but I think I'm going to leave that for last, because what you just mentioned is going to take me into the rapid fire. And don't worry, we're wrapping up soon. So the first thing I want to ask is automations versus campaigns.
Oh, which one do I prefer? Campaigns.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't see that coming. I feel like everybody likes the fact that you can do something on autopilot.
No, I like the challenge. I like thinking through problems. So campaigns are, I have more opportunities, right? Because I'm a curious person who likes experiments that fail. So campaigns is what I prefer.
Okay. Asai's first name and email, what's one of that data points that you would like to collect?
What's your problem? Why are you here?
Okay. If you could only track one metric, what would it be?
Conversion.
Okay. When you say conversion, what do you mean?
Conversion to a paid account.
Okay. Now, when it comes to email marketing, what's a hill you'll die on?
Oh, the hill that I will die on? That you can't send too many emails. It's impossible to send too many emails.
Okay. I feel like that's a really deep one. It says it's impossible to send too many emails. If you could only set up one automation, what automation would that be?
A welcome sequence.
Oh, okay. Why?
Because I think it's important for people to know that they're in the right place and that someone understands them very quickly.
Okay. So aside the welcome sequence, what other automation would you set up?
An onboarding sequence. How do you use my thing, my product, right? Like, that is a must have for a software company. So.
Yes, yes, yes. I remember trying one time to write like onboarding sequence per segment of the software. And so the way the software was, it had like 3 sub-products. And so you could sign up for the software, but only use this one. And then I'm like, okay, so what do I do if someone signs up for like 3 parts of this software? And so I started looking at how to, you know, do all of those. And it was quite an interesting journey. I mean, I now that we talk about it, maybe I do miss working in SaaS a bit, because it did provide some challenges that made you think out of the box. But this has been such an interesting conversation. Now, I know that we've talked about NG throughout this conversation, but I forgot to mention, if you also want a free trial, the link is in the show notes so that you can go ahead and see what NG can do for you. It can help you get a plan, be consistent, track your results, create your marketing calendar, plan your social media. It even has like an AI copywriter and so many, so many things. So you plan your content, you plan your marketing campaigns, then you have your performance dashboard that you can use to see what is going on, how it's going, and all of that. So as a marketer, a small business owner, you can definitely use it as well. And so my final question, I hope this is the final question, because I feel like you have a way of giving me answers that make me want to ask more questions. But yeah, for my final question, what is one email marketing myth that you would want to bust?
Yeah, I'm going to go as I don't have an answer. I'm going to have to think about this and email you later, Dr. Sapphire.
Okay. So tell us, how can we connect with you? Where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram. I'm an older millennial, an elder millennial, so that's my social media platform of choice. Angie's Instagram account is ENJI_CO. And if you want to learn more about Angie, I talk about it there in a more fun, entertaining way. But then also our website is a great place to scope out all the features we have and start a free trial. And that's ENJI.co. Like you said, it'll be linked in the show notes.
Yes, and all the links that you need will be put in the show notes so you can connect with Taylor. You can go ahead and get a free trial of Angie, and we would love to hear any questions and thoughts you have about this conversation. Just leave it in the comment section of whatever platform you are listening to. This has been such a fun conversation, and it has been a pleasure to have you with us today, Taylor. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sapphire. You asked great questions.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Hi, Dr. Sapphire here. Thank you so much for listening to yet another episode of Email Marketing Experiments. I'm going to ask a favor. Please leave a rating and a comment on this podcast. It goes a long way to help increase visibility for our podcast so that we can reach even more people. Till next time, this is still Email Marketing Experiments. Think it, test it, and share it.